This is Ranger Kidwell Ross, editor at WorldSweeper.com and executive director of the World Sweeping Association. I'm pleased today to have on the phone with me John Bailey. And John is the owner and founder of Bailey's Sweeper Service. With him is the general manager for the company, Paul Lobig. So welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Hey, how are you doing today?
They're located in the North Las Vegas, Nevada area. Their market area extends out to Greater Las Vegas and Henderson, a little further out, Boulder City, and you know, once in a while for those of you who know the area. But that's the primary market. They will be our March featured contractor. Congratulations on that. And John, if you would, start out and tell us how you got rolling. What made you get into this business of sweeping? And did you start that way or did you add sweeping later? And, you know, take it away, John.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. I actually started 25 years ago on an idea. An old man, a window cleaner guy, gave me the idea. He said, you know, go sweep parking lots. I'd asked him about starting a business. I'd never seen it being done before and went out and watched it a couple nights here in Vegas. And here we are 25 years later, and we've got a dozen trucks and 25 employees and going strong. I never looked back.
It's always good to look forward as far as I'm concerned, and it's hard to keep up even looking forward sometimes these days. What's your primary market?
HOAs, shopping centers, that's pretty much our primary, I think.
Mm-hmm. What kind of trucks do you operate?
Give them an idea of all the trucks, you know, the newer ones too, Paul. You jump in there and talk.
We run a dozen trucks. We just purchased recently an A4000 Schwartz that we're using for some construction cleanup and for some of the bigger HOAs that we do master plan communities. Our night shift consists the majority of Nighthawk sweepers, 400, NH400s, and we have a couple 200s as well for parking lot garages and so forth. We do also have a small fleet of 348i, some Schwartz, that we use for some of the smaller homeowner associations, trailer parks and so forth. We do also have one of the Victory sweepers in our fleet as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the 348 certainly are versatile. Well, they're kind of an A4000 with the sweeping head reversed. In.
Right.
To me, it's real versatile. The A4000, I think you'll find to be a real versatile machine in that the cost of operation is about the same. But with an H, and you can run it in parking lots, of course, because you can run any direction you want. And then with the HOAs, with the surrounding streets and so forth, you can be on the move with traffic rather than against
it.
So.
And some of the larger master plan communities that we do, that was one of the requirements that they had, is that we'd be able to flow with traffic.
Right.
The inconvenience of residents and, you know, obviously the landscapers as well. And so, you know, it's worked out to be a good versatile truck for us and a great purchase. So we look forward to getting some more in the fleet here soon.
What would you say your mix is there between parking lots and HOAs, say? Is it 50-50, run night routes and day routes? How does that work for you?
Our night routes, there's definitely more properties on there, but obviously, you know, the HOAs take more time to do during the day. I mean, so it's, you know, not comparing apples, you know, to apples. We run four trucks a day, all day, with our HOAs, and then obviously, you know, anywhere from six to seven trucks a night, depending on what routes we have at night. So, I mean, as far as a count on properties, we do more at night, but as far as, you know, time, they're about the same.
Really a good business mix to be able to run that many units during the day and not have it be a complete night business. I think that gives a company a lot more flexibility, and, you know, plus you're hedging your bets with the economy. You never know what's going to upturn and downturn, and so your a little broader mix doesn't hurt anything.
Well, I just think the visibility during the day is a plus as well. I mean, our trucks are tastefully wrapped. You know, we've got they're kind of moving billboards for us. So, you know, we like people to be able to see us out there doing what we do, and it's definitely a plus being able to have our trucks out there during the day as well.
Well, they are wrapped very nicely. I'm always impressed with owners that take the added expense to do that, but to me it's just an investment that pays enormous dividends because you're just seen all over the area, and who are you going to call? There are some situations where I run into owners and they say, well, you know, I don't want my number on the side of my truck because
right. Well, you know, the kind of company that you have, I think that doesn't want you to know who they are. Maybe
yeah.
You shouldn't have them out there in the first place.
That's it, exactly.
Know, we're proud of what we do. We do a great service. We've done it this long for a reason. We want people to know who's out there, and you know, give us a call. Let us know. That's why we're there.
Well, it is a real nice wrap with. I assume that's the Las Vegas skyline as part of it. We'll make sure to have some photos in with that. In terms of doing business right, I've never understood where a contractor, you know, they say, well, gee, I don't want somebody calling to complain. Well, who do you want them to call to complain?
Yeah,
you want them to call you.
There is one.
Yeah.
And hopefully there aren't complaints. There are people calling and saying, I saw this guy and he was doing a great job. What do you think has been the key to operating for 25 years? John, you started it when you first got going. Tell me what you got started with. What'd you buy out of the gate?
That's a funny story because we're actually refurbishing our very first trailer vac. I started it with just myself with one account for $200 a month. I quit the position I was at as a manager at the shoe store, and just like I said, I never looked back. So it was trailer vac.
And who made that? Do you remember?
It was built by a gentleman in Boulder City.
Oh.
In a little storage unit up there. He made about six of them, and no one ever heard of him anymore after that.
Right, I have never heard of that.
Like I say, we're actually in the middle of refurbishing it to put it back on another chassis right now and sending it back out for our night routes again. I mean, it got me started, and there's no reason why, you know.
Right, well, as long as you can keep them going. And that's a complaint that I hear with contractors quite a bit that do municipal work, is that oftentimes a municipal contract will call for sweepers of within 5 years old or something like that. And I know some of these contractors that have older sweepers, and boy, they just keep them in tip-top condition. They do whatever that needs to be done to keep them sweeping to OEM specs, and they're offended that you might have to have new sweepers. And then there's that whole cadre of people on kind of in California and in the Northeast that are keeping the old 80 mobile sweepers going from the 70s, and you think, well, you know, they're purpose-built chassis, you just keep fixing them. So
we take pride in that. We employ a full-time mechanic that does, you know, all our scheduled maintenance, and plus takes care of all the small things that can happen, you know, on any given night.
Absolutely.
Hitting a speed bump, a curb, hitting the head, whatever happens. So, yeah, we pride on making sure our equipment is top shape. And we do have some older trucks in our fleet, you know, and, you know, bottom line is if you do take care of them and you do the right maintenance, you know, you'll get the life out of them, and they've worked well for us.
Well, and you're talking about refurbishing your first unit that's a trailer vac. Schwartz has a unit that was called a 222 that was on Toyota chassis.
Back in the day. Yeah.
And
one of those.
And people just keep fixing them. You know, they really try to keep them going. Are any of your Nighthawk CNG, have you dabbled your feet in that water yet?
No, we haven't. As a matter of fact, I was just working with Nighthawk recently after this last purchase of the A4000. I was looking into getting a quote and possibly making a change over to some CNG trucks. I know there's some good benefits as far as the federal government and with emissions and so forth. And it may be the route to go. But, you know, you had made reference earlier about, you know, some of the mom-and-pop companies that all of us have to deal with as bigger establishments. And sometimes, you know, running an older truck that, you know, you just, if you do the maintenance and there's no major breakdowns, it makes it a more profitable business, as far, you know, instead of running something brand new and having to compete with some of these smaller companies with one or two trucks and, you know, no big maintenance overheads or fuel overheads and so forth.
I really like to hear you saying that, because one of the things that I've heard these days more and more, of course, grumbling about prices, and it seems like it's a race to the bottom more than,
yes,
far more than it
more
should
than
be.
More than to the top.
Yeah. More than to the top, yes. And then, you throw the third-party vendors in, and they're leading the charge of downward spiral. But I hear people complain, and they'll say something like, oh, there's a tow behind came into my market, and I can't compete, or, you know, this guy's got an old truck, and it, you know, runs pretty good, but I can't compete, he's a mom and pop. Well, your costs are amortized over a larger business, larger fleet, and it seems to me that there's no way that you can't compete on the level playing field. I mean, if you have to go get a tow behind, then you can outbid somebody that has just a tow behind, and you can outsell against them, because ultimately it's a little mechanical sweeper, and although it does pick up an astonishing amount of fines, in my opinion, every week or two you need to run an air sweeper on that job. So you can tell the same client that doesn't have any money or is not willing to pay it that take your older sweeper or tow behind or something out there, and then a tow behind, you say, well, you know, and once a week or once every 2 weeks, we'll bring an air sweeper, do a thorough job, and that way that'll keep your line striping from wearing and your seal coat from wearing and the interior of your buildings from wearing. And really knowing those kind of sales techniques, I think, are important. And, you know, you need to, as an established business, find a way to be able to be competitive in that whole gamut of clientele, I think.
Right, and I think, you know, one of our biggest selling points as well is a smaller company like that. I mean, if you have one or two trucks, what happens when one goes down? What happens if an employee gets sick? I mean, there's, we have enough trucks that if we have a truck go down one night, we have something to replace it with right away. Your service isn't going to be interrupted. We're not going to give you a call saying, hey, you know what, we'll be back there tomorrow because we didn't have a vehicle. So, you know, that's definitely one of our top selling points as well.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more because you want that to all be transparent to the customer. Any kind of problems in your business are your problems in your business, and they don't ever need to know about them. And I think that's one of those things that, you know, you're also able in an emergency spill situation or somebody calls up and says, you know, gee, I forgot to tell you, but the big boss is coming, or we're having an extravaganza weekend here that we need everything to be spotless. By tomorrow, you can handle it.
Right.
And usually get a premium price for that kind of thing, too. So
yeah, we'll take those any day.
You bet. You bet. And they're so grateful that they are not going to call somebody else. They're going to be back with you.
Well, you know, with that being said, we've got quite a few marathons and races, NASCAR and so forth, that we have done out here for years. And that's the reason they give us a call back, because they know it could be spur of the moment. We're going to be able to handle whatever they throw at us. And, we'll just make it work for them. We've been doing the Rock and Roll Marathon here in Las Vegas since it's the first year it came out. And, you know, we did it 1 year with up to as many as 10 trucks and then down to as many as 3 trucks. So over the years, we've refined that, and, you know, it's worked well for us. So we do a lot of on-call business. Just for that reason, we're able to handle it.
Mm-hmm. Makes such a difference. Have you seen a difference in the quality of employees? Have you had much turnover in the recession? It seemed like there were PhDs that wanted to drive a sweeper truck. Now that the economy's gotten better, I know the job market's gotten tighter and so forth, too. Or have you had enough turnover to know what's even happening in that regard?
Well, we actually, on our day shift, we've been pretty solid. There's been one or two guys over the past couple years came from our night shift right into our day shift when an opening came. So we don't have a lot of turnover at all during our day shift. At night, it seems like there's always one or two employees that you're always working to try and find someone that's, you know, you're sending them out at night in your expensive vehicle, and you're hoping that, you know, you're training them well enough and you can trust them to respect your equipment. So it always seems like there's a couple guys at the bottom of the totem pole you got to shift in and out. But for the most part, we have a pretty set crew, and they've been with us for a long time. And, you know, I think that's a benefit to our customers as well, because you're getting someone who's knowledgeable, knows the properties, knows the city, knows the equipment, and what the customer expects. And, I mean, that's what our goal is, to make sure our customers have.
Well, you know, let me jump in on that, too. You know, I still have my very first employee that works here. Dave was my first employee, and it's been 23 years. And he's still with us. Same with my office manager. She's pushing 20 years. So I think, to me, that tells me a lot as a company and my employees, that they would want to come to work and they want to be here. So I'm pretty proud of that. You know, we've got a handful of guys that have been with us 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years. Paul, how many years are you pushing now?
I'm going 8 years.
That says a lot, I think.
Sure does. You pick up so many things in your first couple, 3 years that then you can have the time and really the quality of experience to be able to expand into more interesting horizons after a few years as well. In terms of HOAs, you know, we don't talk about HOAs as much in our interviews as we do parking lot clientele. When you go out to an HOA, you know, what is that process? Is it a meet with a committee? How do you convince them that you're the one?
Well, in Las Vegas here now, all bids for HOAs have to be done sealed. You can't, how can I explain it?
You can't schmooze your way in the door, you're saying. Or I'll say that anyway.
We have an advantage because we've been in business so long out here that a lot of the property management companies and property managers in the city we have worked with so many other properties in the past, that a lot of times, you know, when something comes up for a bid, they just contact us and send us the information. But as far as going out and soliciting for HOAs and so forth, it's kind of shunned upon here. You have to have everything sealed. They have to come to you for the information for the bid.
They invite you to bid.
Yes,
yeah.
Invite you to bid.
I see. So you can go to them and provide your information, let them know that you're there, and whenever
sure.
something comes up for contract, please include you, but they don't have to.
Right.
Yeah.
For sure.
And exactly. And then is it completely low bid, or are the specs sometimes have other things about longevity and so forth?
You know what? I think it's a little bit of everything. You know, in this business, everybody wants the lowest price, obviously. You know, they want you to do it for next to nothing. But a lot of the companies, the bigger HOA and homeowner associations, they look for someone with longevity, with, you know, someone that they're experienced with. And, you know, also they want a client list sometimes, what we do at current times. And, you know, so that definitely does help.
Right. I would think that having a good reference list and encouraging them to check it would be important. That's a tough part about, you know, being contacted for a sealed bid of some kind, is that mm-hmm. sometimes you're unable to get in the some critical information that, you know, that is important, that's germane, especially when you know that a competing company really can't do the job, and you see that, you know, those clouds on the horizon when they get awarded the bid, and you know the problems that they've had, and, you know, how can you communicate that without sounding like a sore loser? It's a difficult task.
Yeah, I've seen instances before where, you know, the contractor that they hired to do these contracts don't even have a sweeper.
That's amazing, huh?
Yeah.
We have a broom, though. We have a dustpan.
But, you know, then they'll go, like you said earlier, they'll sub someone to do it, you know.
Right.
And get away with it.
Mm. Yeah, you'd think that, well, of course, you know, they might not know the questions to ask. Inexperienced HOA manager, and he's eager beaver. He wants to, everybody, when they come into the job title, it seems like the way to make their mark is to save some money someplace. And,
right.
You know.
Well, you couldn't say that better.
Yeah,
exactly,
yeah.
Exactly right. They want to make that splash.
Right. I see that you do some number of other services. The interesting one is window washing, since that's how you got into this in the first place. How does that mix up into this? You know, I a lot of times will encourage contractors, especially in a tight marketplace and where they're trying to expand, to instead of expanding horizontally to other customers, which statistically takes more money and time and efforts and so forth to do, is to expand vertically into more services with their existing customers who know, trust, and love them. What is the mix of products that you offer besides sweeping? When you go out to somebody and acquaint them with your company or they're a new customer and so forth, what kinds of other services do you make sure to talk to them about?
Well, we want to try and sell them, you know, a whole package. We do pressure washing. We will do striping and the window washing. We're right there. A lot of times when we're out there, we provide porter service as well. So a lot of times we're out on these properties, we're doing the sweeping, we're doing the portering. We're right there. We might as well offer the window service as well. So, you know, it's just we try and offer a total package for everyone. When we get one of these larger shopping centers, you know, we try and get a sales packet out to them. Let them know we have someone on the property. If there's little small tasks that need to be done, we can handle it all. We're there. We'll take care of it for you.
Well, I think the property managers certainly appreciate having one phone call that they can handle a multitude of service. That makes all the difference, I think. Is pressure washing, I know a lot of sweeping contractors do power wash. You have to own one just to clean your sweeper, so you just well rent it out to as one of your services. Has water reclamation something that's hit in Nevada, or is that just California?
It has it out here, and, you know, it makes us limited to some stuff that we can and can't do. We'll go out and we'll evaluate the property, and, I mean, a lot of times people will call us out for, you know, grease traps and oil traps and so forth at restaurants. And, you know, some of those, we do have water reclamation on one of our pressure washers for the new venture that we're starting, but not filtered. I mean, there's some stuff you just have to steer away from. They do, you know, require it to be removed, captured, and so forth.
One of the things we've seen nationally, especially Walmart's the most egregious with this, is they require in their national contracts that water be reclaimed, and then in small print it says the individual managers are, it's up to them to enforce it. I know a number of contractors that have actually, to get those contracts, have bought water reclamation power washing equipment, and then they can't get the low bid because it's more expensive and the manager actually doesn't care.
Right.
He wants a low bid. One of the situations that's certainly happening nationally. Have you been much affected with third-party vendors? Seems like it's everywhere. Is it pervasive in the Las Vegas area where the chain stores have these national service providers that are racing your prices to the bottom and providing contracts that are terrible?
We do quite a few Lowe's in town and Walmart's. And we do work with third party, but the company that we do work with, we've been working with them a long time, and we've got a really good relationship. But, sometimes it just comes down to pennies, and they come at you with a number, and it's almost hard to believe that they expect you to go out and be able to do a quality job. So, we work with them the best we can. If it's something feasible that we can work, just because it's, within our route, feasible, with the way it's laid out, we'll take it and go with it. But a lot of the third parties, they get so competitive that the price just keeps going down and down and down. And
the problem is, once they've got those prices down, then they realize the work can't be done for that kind of number. But they still, when they do look for another vendor, they're still looking for that same price. They still want that low ball price, but than they expect.
But do a better job than the last guy did at that price.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's certainly the difficulty. And one of the things I'll put out here from my perspective for the people listening to the other contractors listening to this is that I know from speaking at high levels to a number of the third-party vendors that their salespeople in many instances have been trained to come in at a very low-ball price. For example, let's say you're in a situation where you're getting $65 a sweep, and they come in and they say, $28 is what we're thinking. They don't necessarily believe they're going to get the 28. Hey, if they do, they're happy. But by coming in real low, they make you really think about, what can we say? If he hadn't come in so low, we might have said we could do it for 50. But if he's saying 28, maybe we better say, how about 40? And it's just a kind of a human nature technique to try to bring the prices down even further. So that's why I always encourage contractors to keep track of your costs, know exactly what it's costing you to do that job. And as you say, if it's on your route, that makes a big difference because you're not going to have that runtime. But if you lose that aspect of your route, then suddenly you're stuck with a contract that is no longer making you money. So the important part is to make money and remember you're going to want to retire someday.
Right. Well, it comes down to literally minutes that, I can let my guys be on the property. We all know in the sweeping business there's so many different variables, whether it be, in the Las Vegas Valley here, it can get windy some nights. I mean, you got 40, 50 mile an hour winds coming through. And then the one or two times a year it decides to rain, we get extra flooding and so forth. So we all know it's never the same every night. But it literally comes down to minutes sometimes with these properties that we go with the third party.
And do you use GPS, or how do you track your time?
Yeah, we do use Fleetmatics GPS. We have it on all our vehicles, not only just to track time, but just to make sure our guys are going where they're supposed to be and when they're supposed to be. And it's really a great tool as far as doing our routing and so forth. I mean, it's allowed us to group our properties properly, so we can take on some of these Home Depots and Lowe's and so forth, and be able to do it profitably.
Fleetmatics does have a good reputation. Have you been happy with the product?
Yeah. You know what? They've done some changes. The last change that they made was kind of stiff one. It was a little bit of learning too fast, but yep, we picked up on it pretty fast. I mean, there's a lot of different things that they offer in there, I mean, that make it just almost down to the penny as to what it costs to run my trucks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's all about, because it comes down to pennies sometimes.
Well, absolutely. And I know Fleetmatics is one of our associate members of the World Sweeping Association, and is a we've had some good reviews from them from some of our member contractors, so that's the way I know that they seem to be doing a pretty good job.
Yeah, they stand behind their product. If we have any issues, they're right on it, and they get it taken care of, and that's all you can ask.
Paul, what did you add to the company when you came in here 8 years ago? How did that work?
Actually, John and I became friends through our sons being in Cub Scouts together, and I had actually worked for a couple big corporations on the West Coast doing inventory control and shipping and distribution and so forth. And we were actually sitting around a campfire one night, and John had been in the business a while, and he just wanted to take that next step and get someone in there with some organizational skills, some leadership skills, just someone to help a little more refined to help make the business grow.
I was burned out.
Burned out, right. So,
And Paul was being polite.
and how I looked at it, too, is, you know, with the companies that I was with were thousands upon thousands of employees. And, you know, I was middle to upper management, and it was hard to make an impact. It really was. Regardless of what I did, regardless of, you know, what I changed and so forth, you know, whether it be 50 employees underneath me or 20 employees, it never really seemed to make a solid difference. There was always somebody to stamp it out or put their approval on it. So, you know, I looked at it as an opportunity to come into a smaller family-owned company that really had a good vision and already a great footprint on what they were doing, and, you know, just help refine and help it build. And it's been a good ride. It's been a lot of fun. Yeah. I mean, like John said, that's why I'm still here. It's a different picture every day. It's never the same thing, so it doesn't get boring. There's always a challenge. What more could you ask for?
I agree. I think that my job is also like that. You never know what the day is going to bring you, and it makes it a lot more interesting and fun. And I think when you're having fun, you're doing a better job.
Right. With running a pretty much a 24-hour business, there's a lot of flexibility. You know, it allows me to get involved with both the night shift and day shift and you know, do different marketing plans and so forth for a little bit of everything. So it keeps me interested.
How do you track what kind of quality you provide? The GPS shows that you're there, that, you know, probably that you put the brooms down and maybe that you started the motors and, you know, those kinds of things. But do you have a follow-up program of some kind?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's a program. It's more of a random. You know, we do anywhere from, 70 to 150 properties a night sometimes, depending on, you know, Sunday night is just our busiest. We have, you know, 7 trucks out, guys going like crazy. And, you know, it's hard for one person to check on every single property. So we do employ a full-time night supervisor, and he does random spot checks throughout the week, as I do myself. And, you know, we have a very, very low amount of complaints. I mean, we get out there, we make sure that we follow up with the guys. You know, showing up on a lot with a guy at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, it kind of keeps them on their toes, lets them know that we're out there and you know, we're keeping an eye on it. So we just make sure we do quality assurance checks. I mean, that's all we can do, follow up with any complaints, make sure they're addressed, and, you know, make sure our clients are happy.
Well, I think showing up at 3 o'clock in the morning also shows that quality counts for you, that it is important. You know, it's so important that one of the bosses is coming out that time of the morning, then, you know, by gosh, I want to do my job right. And having pride in your work is an enormous factor. And if
right.
you can still laugh.
And like John was saying, you know, some of our guys are on night shift now. They've been with us 5, 6, 7 years plus now. And, you know, For your boss to come out 2, 3 o'clock in the morning and bring, you know, bring you a cheeseburger and, you know, an energy drink or something like that, not only am I getting the point across that I'm out there taking a look and making sure that the job's right, but I also, you know what, I value them. Here you go. You know what, here, I appreciate you guys out here doing the job that needs to be done. So, you know, it's a two-edged sword. I mean, it helps. It's perfect for us.
It is. It's absolutely the way a business should be run, in my opinion. So good on you for that. Let's talk about one of your side projects that I found to be very intriguing that was on your website, or I don't know where I saw it, but the can cleaning. You've gotten into the business of cleaning garbage cans, and how does that work, and what can you tell me about it?
Go ahead, Paul.
Well, over the past year or so, we came across, actually on the internet, we saw a company that was going around and cleaning the plastic recycled bins and the garbage bins that are provided by the local garbage facilities. And it just looked like a good idea. And being out here in the desert where it gets to 110, 115 degrees during the summer, these garbage cans start to give off a nice odor. So a lot of the HOAs here, which we already have our foot in the door because we're sweeping their streets, a lot of these HOAs require that your garbage cans are not in plain sight. They have to be inside your garage or inside a contained area, so they're not in, you know, sight. So that smell starts to, you know, come out and make itself ripe. So, you know, we figured we'd go out there and see how we could do cleaning the cans.
So you're really deodorizing people's garages is what's happening.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, and just, you know, just the bacteria buildup. And
sure.
Like I said, with the heat out here, it just, you know, accelerates any kind of bacteria and, you know, odor. So we purchased a vehicle from a company down in Florida. And it's capable of doing 2 cans at a time, and we pull up to the curbside, and the vehicle picks up the can itself, tips it over, and it's washed with heated water at 4,000 PSI, flip back over. We hit it with some bacterial soap and some deodorizer, and away we go. It's a great service.
So it's all hands off, and you don't have to have anybody stand out there scrubbing and so forth. It's just all machine done.
It's all machine done. You know, and we do a quick clean on the outside with a wand, and
mm-hmm.
the can looks as good as new. And it's a great service. I mean, it's amazing, you know, a can that hasn't been cleaned and taken care of for a while, you run the service through and it comes out looking new.
Well, I can see where that would be a great add-on for a hot climate like Las Vegas, all right. And when did you start that business?
We're actually just about 6 months in right now,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, we're looking forward to getting a little bit warmer weather out here so we can kind of get that.
That'll help marketing.
Exactly, you know, free marketing. So, we actually have a trade show this weekend that we're doing. That's where Tony, our sales rep, is out at today. We'll go out there and just push the product. Been a little bit slow starting, but it's definitely starting to take off now once the weather's, you know, getting warmer and word's getting around.
Well, sure, and it's a repeat business, too. Is it something you would try to do once a month, or how often do you...
We do have a one-time service, but we mm-hmm. offer, you know, the ideal service is, you know, doing maintenance, just like a sweeping contract. You know,
sure.
If you're out there 2-3 nights a week, you're able to maintain it. You know what I mean? And we'll assess that for you. You know, it depends on what kind of client, you know, if you've got a lot of kids and stuff, there's going to be a lot more debris that's going through that. So we try and definitely sell them on a monthly contract. You know, we come out there every month. That's the way it's maintained.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting adjunct. It's something for, you know, people, other listeners, to give a thought to. You never know what service is going to be the next sliced bread. So,
right. Well, we're hoping it's going to be the sliced bread.
That's right. That's right. With butter, too, would be good.
It would be very nice.
Maybe even on both sides. We've talked a lot about the way the business operates and so forth. There's one more thing I'd like to know. What I was going to ask is, you know, think about anything that questions I haven't asked and things you'd like to get across about your company. With an HOA, what is it that they usually want you to do?
A lot of times the HOAs are just, you know, they're regular community streets. A lot of the HOAs that we do are private communities. They're either gated or guard-gated. So, you know, our scope of services, we come in, we make sure everything's blown out of the planters and so forth in the front main gates and around all the gates where we can't drive our sweeper trucks around. Make sure, you know, that all the gutters are free of trash and debris and so forth, you know, and hit the middle of the streets and just make sure they're clean and free of debris. You know, when we do get an occasional rain out here, a lot of the gutters get clogged up, so we make sure our guys get out and, you know, make sure all the grates are free of all the leaves and trash and so forth, and rocks and any kind of landscaping debris.
I would assume that you run into the same situation that street sweepers run into with parked cars. Is there any way to handle that, the different sweeping schedules, or is that really not much of a problem?
Well, no, it is a big problem, and it depends on the community, too. Some of the communities require that you're not allowed, or require that you do not park on the street. We love those because it's a nice, clean sweep all the way through. There's not a lot of different obstacles. But what we try and do when we get an accepted contract, obviously we contact our client and see what the garbage days are, so we obviously aren't in there when they have cans out and any kind of debris or recycling pickup. And at that time, you know, we request that if it's a community where they're not required to park in their driveways or garages, you know, we request that they, you know, put out a flyer and let them know, hey, we're going to be in there this day, and, you know, this is the more cars that are off the street, the better job we're going to be able to do. So we make, you know, the property manager aware of that right away. If there's cars there, my guys are required to stay a certain distance away from them, and, you know, next time we'll get that spot next time.
Most of them are on a scheduled route, though. You know, I think most of them are the same day each month, pretty close to it. And a lot of managements, they put signs out, you know, third Wednesday of the month, the street sweepers come and don't park on the street.
Right.
Well, it's so important, to get buy-in by the homeowner residents themselves, to, you know, for them to realize that if a car is parked there all the time, that it'll never be clean underneath it. And then,
right.
You know, when that car goes... you know, there's, of course, rodent problems if the food blows under the cars and those kinds of things, too. So, are there questions that I haven't thought to ask, things that we haven't covered as topics here?
No, I think you pretty much got it from beginning to end, you know, from how we started to some of our new ideas and ventures that are going on. It's been a great year so far. We've hit the ground running, and we're just looking forward to what 2015 has to offer.
I think with the economy coming back a little bit, you know, little things are happening here and there, especially here in Vegas. I think it should be a good year for a lot of companies, a lot of service companies.
When the economy's better, certainly that's what creates traffic to Vegas, so it should make a big difference.
Yeah.
Well, then, we'll wrap it up, and I want to thank you very much for spending the time to talk about your business as well as to help other contractors to know how businesses are operated in different parts of the country. I think is really a positive factor. We've been speaking with John Bailey. John is the owner of Bailey's Sweeping Service, started about 25 years ago, and about 8 years ago, Paul Lobig came in as general manager, and as you heard in the interview, they work very well together as a team, and it's easy to see why they're successful. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Appreciate the opportunity.